Happy Sabbath, saints of God. I hope and trust that we had a warm week. My first time experiencing this kind of weather last weekend. A friend of mine texted me before and said, be he prepared to experience a storm Jamaica had never experienced before. I tell you, saints, that I dug snow until I ate. When I stepped out, it was up to my knees up here. And I text back the people home and said, oh, times like this, I really miss the sunshine. But it's good to be alive and well in the house of God. What do you say, saints? God's been good, hasn't he? Yes, he has brought us along our way, and I'm happy to be here with you guys once again. Today we will be discussing for a few minutes the topic, taking the next step. And I ask us to reverently turn to our Bibles as we'll once again read together. Or you can follow me. I'd like to read the text before I actually go into the sermon. It's coming to us from the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Verse 8 to 11, verse 8 starting says, to the messenger, just following the version that you have, to the messenger of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last, talking about Jesus who was dead and became alive, say this, I know your suffering, and I know your poverty. Though you are rich, and I know your slander committed by those who claim to be Jews, but are not. They are synagogue of Satan. However, don't be afraid of what you are going to suffer. Look, Jesus said, the devil is going to throw some of you in prison so that you may be tested. For 10 days you will undergo suffering. Nevertheless, be faithful until death, and I will give you the victor's crown of life. Let everyone listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The last sentence said, the one who overcomes will never be hurt in the second death. Father, as I deliver your message, have your sweet own way. I pray this morning that people listening, sitting here in the temple, and those viewing online, somebody will be touched by the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, the devil will have us confused, and he will have us deceived. There's a story of an eagle who was born among chicken, and he grew up among the chicken, walking, eating on the ground all his life, never knew of his potentials. So all his life he has been somewhat deceived that this is as far as he could go, living the life as a chicken, when he didn't know his true potential and the capabilities and the power and the strength that he had as an eagle. Saints of God, the devil wants us to be deceived today. He wants somebody to believe that you are left on your own. The devil wants us to believe that Jesus is not as he says he is. He doesn't want us to take God beyond face value. He doesn't want you to take your faith to another step. The devil wants me to believe I am unlovable. He wants me to believe that whenever I failed and I feel down, I should stay there. That's his goal for my life. The church, in the second chapter, the second message going out to Smyrna, saints, talks about suffering, the suffering church. Smyrna is recognized to be the suffering church. Ancient Smyrna, however, the city is founded in the land of Turkey today. The modern city is called Izmir. Ancient Smyrna, saints, was known for its lavish beauty. Today we have a city over in the Middle East. It's a beautiful place. But Smyrna, saints, was known for its lavish beauty. It was the first city in Asia to erect a temple to the goddess Roma. Smyrna, saints of God, if you can visualize with me, it built a temple to the dedication of the emperor Tiberius. Today, saints of God, we live in the nation capital, Washington, D.C. And I've learned that we have lots of monuments and memorial down in D.C. Today, if we were to go to D.C., like many visitors who visit the nation's capital per year, millions of people just come to witness or to experience these monuments and memorials, such as of Jefferson's Memorial or Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial. People come to see the memorial of Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, or to experience the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. But I want us saints to understand that the city of Smyrna was 10 times greater than the nation's capital we live in today. Because Smyrna's architecture, saints, was most pleasing to the ancient world. And because of things that was found in the city, they had temple erected in dedication to the ancient Greek gods, such as the god of Cybele and the god Zeus. Smyrna was looked upon as the envy of the nation of Asia, the providence of Asia. It had cities that the Bible talks about in the same book of Revelation. Jesus gives us a promise. Jesus said, when I come back for you, you're going to be walking on streets of gold. History tells us that Smyrna, in its days, had walkways, roadways, that were called streets of gold. Saints, Smyrna was the place people wanted to be. Smyrna was the place people wanted to be associated with. People wanted to live there, to do business there. But Smyrna had another side to it. You see, saints, Smyrna had many Jews. It had a large Jewish population. And these Jews, saints of God, were vibrantly opposed to Christianity. If you were a Christian in the time of John the Revelator, you would not want to find yourself in the city of Smyrna. Christians, saints of God, became not only a religious threat to Smyrna, they also became a political threat in the city of Smyrna. And therefore, heavy, hard, harsh persecution came upon the Christian saints. Though Smyrna, therefore, was a place to be, if you were a Christian, it was not the place for you to be. Saints, the message to Smyrna, this message that we ably just read, Jesus carved three gems to his church. And what Jesus did in this message, he set or established a solid foundation for each and every Christian's living in the world today. If we would take a careful look at the message to the church in Smyrna, saints of God, what Jesus wanted the people to get, what Jesus wanted to reveal through the revelation that he gave to John, he wanted the saints in Smyrna to have a trust, to have confidence, to know that he is and will always be with them. Though they are going to face persecution, Jesus wanted to make it resolute. He wanted the saints to be resolute in their faith, to know that I will and I am always with you. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, I know your suffering. Jesus said to the people, I know you're suffering. The first gem, saints, I want us to pay close attention to. If we are not careful when we read the scripture, we will overlook some important points. When Jesus said, I know you're suffering, the affliction of the church is not counted as strength, but rather as a problem. The affliction that Jesus is talking about when he says to the church in Smyrna, I know your affliction. It's looked upon as problem today. If we have affliction in our church, we see it as problem. However, from the get-go, Christ has established intimacy with the church. What Christ wants you to know, what Christ wants you to know is that I know you. I know you from you were born. I know your upbringing. I know your social background. I know your parents. I know the life you lived. I know your situation. I know your troubles. I know your worries. I am with you. The church today has forgotten the significance of the fellowship of the suffering of Jesus. When we read about the lives of the apostles and the ancient first generation Christians of the ancient world, the Bible tells us that these Christians counted it joy to suffer for Christ. These Christian saints of God find joy in suffering and going through persecution for the sake of the gospel. Today, the church has forgotten what it means to suffer for the sake of the gospel. But I want us to be reminded, for those who are viewing online, for those who are seated in the pews, I want somebody to be reminded today that suffering for Christ is a privilege, saints of God. It's not just sorrow and pain. For Christ, my friends, is asking us to take the next step. Christ is asking us, saints of God, to not only be comfortable in our situation. Oh yes, we live We live in a world, as a matter of fact, we live in a nation where things are at our disposal. From where I'm from, Saints, I go to church sometime back home in Jamaica, and we will be sweating so much profusely that we had no windows around. It will be hot. Some of us will be uncomfortable. I can recall I've gone into the communities and invited people out to come and worship, and they would say, "I can't come to your church, it's too hot." When it rains, people get wet, it leaks. What Christ wants us to be is to become uncomfortable in our situation, in our comfort. To experience suffering, saints of God, we are not only to look upon that as something negative. For Christ says, He says, "I know your affliction. Though you are afflicted, I am and will always be with you." And furthermore, Jesus Christ, He doesn't leave us hanging. What He does, He gave us assurance. He said, "I will not even give you more than you can manage." For in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, He said, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." Jesus is simply saying, "I have gone there, I've done that, I've overcome already, and you too can overcome." Saints of God, the second gem, what Jesus was saying to the suffering church in Smyrna, He said, I know your affliction, but counting joy through your affliction, I know your poverty. This Jesus, saints of God, is the same one the Bible calls Him the first and the last, who was dead and is now alive. He is saying, "I am the risen Savior in the world today." Jesus is saying, "I know your suffering. I know your poverty." Saints of God, the poverty comes as a result of the suffering. The poverty of the church in Smyrna came as a result of the suffering that they were going through. Now, Smyrna was lavish, big, beautiful, a good place to live. But the Jews in Smyrna, saints of God, they hated the Christian population. You see, the church was a growing church. The gospel was spreading like wildfire. It was not only Jews who were being converted, but those who were looked upon as heathen, they were also being converted. So the Jewish people, they were protected under the law that they could worship freely in the city of Smyrna. But because of the growing population of Christianity, they hated the Christians. Christ is fully aware of the result of your afflictions, your poverty, your pain, your sorrows, your heartaches, your loss. Jesus, saints, wants you to know that He is right here in your situation with you. You are not alone. Saints, the poverty is believed to be a cause of the hatred of the Jews and the pagans who dwell among the church in Smyrna. You see, saints of God, the good, the God-fearing, what did I say? The God-fearing, my brother. The God-fearing Christian lifestyle, saints, cause jealousy. Am I talking to somebody? I said the God-fearing Christian lifestyle, saint, is not just to be called a Christian. It's the lifestyle of the people in Smyrna caused jealousy from the Jews. For these people, saints, were living according to the will of God. Not just to be say, "Hey, I'm the seed of Abraham." But they were also demonstrating what it means to live in love amongst their brethren. The Bible tells us that the early church will sell whatever they have and give to the poor. They will help each other. They demonstrated true love and intimacy amongst the saints. Have your lifestyle caused jealousy? Has your lifestyle caused problem in your workplace? Has your lifestyle caused your neighbor to hate you? Has your lifestyle, saints of God, caused you to be living uncomfortable even in your community? Christians are sometimes victims of mobs and violence. Christians are sometimes victims of property destruction. The media tell us today, saints, that over in the Middle Eastern section of the world, Christians are being persecuted. They are hated. But Jesus Christ wants us to know that He is and will always be there for you. He knows your pain. He knows your sorrow. But He said, hold on a little longer. Hold on. You're not alone. I want us to know, my friends, saints of God, that it's okay to be in poverty. Let us say it again. I want us to know, saints of God, it's okay to be in poverty. For some of us, that's the only means that Jesus will save us. And don't look upon it as just the literal poverty. Because the Bible goes further. He said, though, in verse 9, In verse 9 he says, though I know your poverty, you are rich. You are rich. Oftentimes, saints of God, we tend to overlook that reality. We are rich in Christ. We are rich in the spirit of brotherly and sisterly love in the church of God. The church in Smyrna, they were being persecuted harshly, but saints of God, they stood their ground. They stood their ground. They didn't turn their back when hardship came and hit them left, right, and center. When, saints of God, we tell our boss that we will not work and we stand firm for the Sabbath day, the boss threatens us to fire us or to lay us off, and sometimes we submit. But I encourage somebody today to stand firm. Hold fast. For God is saying you are rich. I've been there. I've experienced it. I've been there, my friends. When my boss had asked me to work on the Sabbath day, and I said no, and he said, it's just one Saturday. My God, it's not going to kill you. I said no. I had to stand up for what I believe in. I have to be able to put my faith to the test, saints of God. Jesus is saying to us, some of us, we are going to be tried. We are going to be tested. We are going to be taken out of our comfort zone. Move and shifted. But stand firm. I am with you. One more thing. Jesus wanted the church in Smyrna to recognize. He wanted the church to know that the same Jesus they heard that walked the land and was crucified and rose the third day was with them. He said, I know your slander. I know your defamation. I know that people do not like you and cause evil to come upon you. Jesus wants you to know, though you are going through some marital problems and you are praying and you can't see a breakthrough, He's saying, I know what you're going through. Your children have turned their backs on the faith that you brought them up in, and they seem like they are not coming back. He said, I know your pain and your agony. You have been going to school so long, trying to work 9-to-5 job, and it seems like it's not happening. Nothing is going the way you have planned, and you are working, you're praying. He said, I know your pain. The most unfortunate thing about that statement is what it illustrates. That statement, saints of God, illustrates the urgency of the crisis we face within the church today. What am I talking about, saints? The hardship that you and I often experience within the body of Christ, the hardship that you and I often experience, even in the same church of God, is caused by the same people who are supposed to be our keepers. Are you listening to me, saints? The Bible here, when Jesus saying, I know, he said, listen, he said, I know your slander committed by those who claim to be Jews. I know your slander committed by those who claim to be Christians. I know your slander committed by somebody who is in the church that you attend. I know your slander committed by the same saints of God. Jesus said, though they profess to be Christians, they are not. Though they profess to be the true saints and the true people of God, they are not. He said, they are synagogues of Satan. Have mercy. Jesus was saying, what was happening in Smyrna, saints of God? People were supposed to be the true keeper of the word of God, who were supposed to live and demonstrate the true lifestyle. They missed it. You know, sometimes we are in the church for years unconverted. Sometimes, saints of God, we are stumbling blocks for people who are supposed to come into the church. Sometimes, saints of God, we allow ourselves to be used by the enemy. The Bible says they who profess to be the saints, they who profess to be the Jews, they who profess to be converted Christian, they themselves are a church, are a people of Satan. That's plain here. The sister who's supposed to be your keeper, who's supposed to be praying you up, is the same brother who is tearing you down. The same one who carries your name to the pastor. The same one who go behind your back when he laughs with you, tears you down. Are you getting the message what Jesus is saying? He said, I know what is happening with you. Saints, the suffering caused to the Christians in Smyrna was not instigated by the state, but rather it was instigated by the supposed people of God. You see, saints, history, clear history, tells us that the persecution that was taking place, the suffering that was taking place in Smyrna, was instigated by the Jews. For they hated the Christians so much that they went to the Romans and caused the persecution. They instigated it. They burnt down the Christians' homes. They burnt down their property. They destroyed it. And they caused some of them to be locked up, to be crucified, to be killed. But Jesus, saints of God, is saying, I am with you. He keeps telling us that. So be careful. You are not an assailant of the enemy today. Be careful that you are not working alongside the devil to cause persecution to your own brother and to your own sister. Be careful you are not a stumbling block to your partner, your wife, or your husband. Be careful that your lifestyle, saints, be mindful that your lifestyle doesn't cause somebody to stumble or to prevent somebody from coming to Jesus. Where I come from, the immediate community I am coming from in Jamaica, I can recall I was the only Christian at one point that the people could see the lifestyle I was living was the only Christian, the only Christ they could see was through me. I had to be mindful of that reality. I had to be careful of the places that I would go. I had to be careful of the way I would carry myself. My presence, my dress code, the language I spoke. I had to be careful because they are watching you. Jesus is saying today, the bottom line in this message to the church in Smyrna, saints of God, Jesus was saying to the brethren, I am with you. Intimacy is what Jesus wanted the people to experience. That relationship with him is asking somebody to take the next step. Move from where you are. It's time to elevate to the other level. Though we live in a nation where everything seems to be okay and all right, we have all things at our disposal. We have no wants in America. I tell you, saints of God, when I came here just a few years ago, I was able to navigate myself around the city in a new car. Back home, you had to take years to get to that place. But what Jesus wants us to understand and to know and to carry within our hearts is that we are not to be complacent, to be comfortable. And whenever we are shaken up and we are moved out of our comfort zone, he wants us to know that I will be there with you. Taking the next step will challenge you beyond what you're bargained for. Saints, we will be tested, the Bible says. We will be tested to our limits, the Bible says. We are challenged to exercise faith. That's what Christ wants for us. The church in Smyrna had to take that next step. They lived comfortably before persecution. The city saints of God was a place that people of the ancient world wanted to be. But Christ is giving the affirmation today to somebody. Jesus is telling somebody watching online. Jesus is telling somebody going through some hardship. Jesus is telling somebody who is facing some serious marital problem. Some serious legal problems. some serious job loss and financial crisis. Jesus is telling somebody who wants to have some mended relationship, but it's not happening. Jesus is telling somebody who wants to take that next step and to give his life, her life to Christ. Jesus is saying, don't be afraid of what you hear. That will happen. I will and will always be with you. Somebody's faith has been shaken. Somebody has failed you. The pastor had failed you. The church brother had failed you. He lied to you. But Jesus is telling somebody today, I know your situation. Don't be afraid of anything and anyone. Jesus is saying, in order for you to make it, you must take the next step. You must get up out of your comfort zone. You must try me today. Somebody has been praying for something. Somebody, saints of God, has been wrestling for something, but take an introspective look at your life. Let go of whatever you're holding on to. Let go of the comfort. Lose the car. Lose the house. Let it go. Let it go. Hold on to Jesus. Don't be afraid. Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge, saying, Jesus doesn't leave us hanging. That's what I love about him. When I came to give my life to Christ, my immediate background where I come from, saints of God, every day your faith was tested. Every day you had to face some trials, something to test your faith. And I hold fast to the promises of God, my friend. Psalms 46. Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, very present. Am I talking to somebody? Very present help in trouble. What is simple saying? Whatever situation you will find yourself in, he said, I will already be there waiting for you. 1 Peter 3 verse 14 says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Saints, I'm coming down to a close. But the underlining message to the church in Smyrna, what I want you to take home with you today, if it's just this one thing you will get from the message today, from the sermon in taking the next step, the focus is not necessarily, saints, listen to me now, the focus is not necessarily on the affliction. Come on, somebody. Take time to read the Word of God. Pray earnestly that God will give you what you need to get from it. And this morning he's saying to you, the focus is not necessarily the affliction or the poverty or the slander. These things are imminent and unavoidable. But the focus is rather what is yet to come. Am I talking to somebody? Don't be caught up with the troubles of the world. Don't be caught up with the problems you are facing. Don't lose track of the goal set before you. You see, in John chapter 14, Jesus made a beloved promise. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, saints. Ask yourself the question, why were the church in Smyrna undergoing persecution? You want me to tell you why? Because of the promise that God has made. He said to them, he said, be faithful until death, and I, Jesus, will give you a crown of life. In other words, Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter what you will face down here and hear, what is yet to come is 10 times, 1,000 times fold of what I will give you. Eternal life, eternal blessing. He further goes on to say that you will not even experience the second death that will come. He said you will have life eternal. Take a little persecution, it's okay. Take a little trouble, it's all right. Don't complain too quickly, for you must face it for the sake of the gospel. You must face it, saints. What Jesus warned for you today, saints of God, to get from the message to the church in Smyrna is to take the next step. Exercise faith, the faith of Abraham. Be having that yearn to be as those who are in Hebrews chapter 11. Allow God to be able to boast on you. To tell the father like he did with Job. Hey, my son Fabian down there. Oh, I can guarantee that he will not give up on me when trouble will come to him. Allow Jesus to be able to have you as such a close friend. Some of us have good friends who we can put our trust into. Allow Christ to have that confidence in you. Stand for righteousness' sake. For what will come, saints of God, is greater than our imagination. When I was given the opportunity, somebody listening, when I was given the opportunity to give my life to Christ, where I was back then, as an heathen in the world, I was enjoying life. I didn't have the cars. I didn't have the big house. But I loved the life I was living. I was enjoying pleasures. But Christ challenged me. Christ said, I'm challenging you to take the next step. And I guarantee you, if you, Fabian, take that step with me, oh, I will take you to places. The trouble will come. The test will come. You will lose your job. Something will happen. But I'm challenging you, Fabian. Take that step. And you will experience life to its fullest. As he promised in John 10, verse 10. About the thief who come to kill and to destroy. Christ gave me that promise. He says, I will give you abundant living. And I've experienced that, saints. I have. I'm experiencing it now. So Christ is challenging somebody today. As I close. He's challenging somebody today. Look beyond the persecution. Look beyond the poverty. Look beyond the slander. Look up to me, he's saying. Take my hand. Give me a try. Allow me to lead you. Allow me to give you the desires of your heart. Saints, it says, be faithful. It says, be faithful until death. And I, not Fabian, not the preacher this morning, Jesus will give you the victor's crown of life. Amen. God bless you.